Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Delighted you could join us for the Big Red Bench on this Sunday evening. Maureen Tomás here with you until 7 o'clock tonight. We have a lot to cover over the next hour. We're going to have reaction from the Cork footballers after their win over Leitrim. We're going to hear from the Cork hurlers after their superb win over Tipperary last night. Going to hear from Cork City boss Neil Fenn after their win over Cove Ramblers today. Going to be talking all things Six Nations as well, including France's win over England this afternoon. Going to preview the new Cork City season as well with our City legend George O'Callaghan. And we're going to preview the Super Bowl tonight. Alan Lemastney, the head coach of the Cork Admirals, will be along to give us analysis of Super Bowl 54, which kicks off later on this evening. You're listening to The Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. We're here until 7 o'clock. If you want to get involved with the show, you can text us 086 8104 106 is the place to send your texts or your WhatsApps, or you can tweet us as well at Big Red Bench. Glad to be joined, as always, by Tomás O'Leary. Tomás, how are you? Hi. Why did I hesitate there? I was like, will I call him like, you know, an Ireland legend, Munster legend? Will I just call him Tomás O'Leary?
No, you forgot who
I went with just Tomás O'Leary.
I forgot who it was, like, having a clue who I am.
I took one Saturday off and I came back, like, sorry, who are you?
Yeah, I would
what
say
do I do here?
I wish you were starstruck, but don't really have that effect on people.
not after 2 months, or not a month in here anyway. Ireland yesterday, I know you talked in depth with it about Colm on yesterday's show. You can get that podcast on redextra.ie, wherever you get your podcasts from. But yeah, not the greatest performances for Ireland yesterday, but then a lot to work on ahead of the visit of Wales next week, I think.
Yeah, look, probably lucky to get out with the win. You know, obviously Stuart Hogg, well documented, he made an awful mistake dropping the ball over the line.
I think I would have scored that.
I'd probably back you 100% to score it.
You probably would.
I haven't seen you in action yet. You're bigging up your five-a-side soccer skills. So.
Yeah, my tag rugby skills weren't that hot, so I wouldn't be banking on me at all.
But to be fair, you could probably fall over the line and throw a ball down the ground.
Was that one of the worst misses you've ever seen?
I think it was in a soccer or in a rugby game, definitely. Literally.
Completely unobstructed, just have to touch the ball down onto the floor and then boom.
Especially when, you know, it's your captain and he's probably their only world class player.
Yeah. It was literal taking your eye off the ball, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And because I was watching it here live with Colm, and we were like, oh, and Scotland scored a try in the corner, and then obviously they slow it down and you can't really believe that kind of he made that mistake. But look, I suppose a lot of the discourse is obviously around Andy Farrell's first game in, Mike Hatta's new attack coach, and you know it's going to be a new Ireland. But to be fair, you know, Josh Smith has been intact for 6 years, and he the lads have only had whatever 3-4 months to prepare, and that's obviously with Highland Cup games in between, so it's going to take time for them to get their imprint on this Irish team. There were some signs, you know, the try they scored was a bit different, rather than kind of just bludging their way over the line. You know, it was a bit of subtlety, ball out the back from Keane Healy to Conor Murray, and a hard line ball out the back to Sexton. So look, there is, I suppose, little bits of hope, but yeah, look, it's going to take time. But look, it's a win, and Wales coming to town, you know, the lads will be well up for that.
Yes, certainly. We're going to hear from Robbie Henshaw a little bit later on. First, though, we're going to get up to date on everything that happened today.
Yeah, so to GAA, and the Cork footballers made it 2 wins from 2 in Division 3 as they pulled clear from a Leitrim challenge in the second half at Avoncard Park. Sean McAdermott today. Kieran Sheehan's goal in the first half, just in injury time, helped the Rebels to 1-15 to 8 points win.
That's the first time since 2015 that they've won their opening two National Football League games as well. So very, very positive signs for the Rebels, albeit in Division 3.
Oh yeah, but good start.
A win's a win is a win, as they say.
Yeah, see Kieran Sheehan after coming on the show last week as well. So any other footballers want a little kick start as well? Come and have a chat with us. Also in Division 3 today, it finished Louth 1-7, Tipperary 11 points, and Drogheda Offaly 10 points, Longford 10 points, in Tullamore. Elsewhere today, in Group A of Division 1 in the Alliance National Hurling League, champions Limerick overcame Galway 1-19 to 14 points at the Gaelic Grounds. Waterford were 3-18 to 1-15 winners over Westmead and Mullingar. And in Group B, Clare edged Wexford by 18 points to 15 in Wexford Park. Dublin had the measure of Laois by 4-18 to 2-17 at Parnell Park. And Kilkenny were easy 3-21 to 9 point winners over Carlow and New Watch Cullen Park. In Division 1 of the Ireland's National Football League, Monaghan saw off Tyrone 111-11 points at Castle Blaney. Donegal ran out 3-8 to 7-point winners over Meath and Navan. And in Division 2, it ended Fermanagh 13 points, Roscommon 12 points and Enniskillen. And Clare 11 points, Kildare 10 points and Ennis. In the National Football League, Cork have won away to Tipperary 2-11 to 1-6. That's in the Ladies Football League.
Yeah, 2 wins from 2 now for the Cork Ladies. A very fast start to them for their league campaign, and fantastic to see Cork sides all winning this weekend.
Absolutely. It's a good, I know it's early days, but winning is a habit, and I guess, you know, you're trying to build a winning culture and competition for places. So yeah, look, long may that continue.
Yeah, and cracking win for Cork over Tipperary last, and we'll hear from Kieran Kingston in a bit, but just a fantastic performance from the Rebels last night. So things certainly looking good indeed, although, as you say, early stages.
Yep, and on to football, and over in the UK, it's currently Spurs leading Man City. The debutant Bergwijn with an unbelievable goal in his debut.
Cracking goal.
In the 63rd minute.
Son Heung-min has gotten the second there just a couple of minutes after that. So they're now leading Man City by 2-0. And the most important thing there is that Liverpool will now be 22 points clear of Manchester City with the same amount of games played, with just 13 more games left. So 39 points to play, but 22 points clear. It's a sensational lead, and that Liverpool team are sensational. They are a machine, but this win has to be the final nail in the coffin for Man City's title hopes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think even Liverpool fans at this stage will have to admit that the league is over.
As much they don't want to jinx it.
Yeah. So look, Burnley and Arsenal as well earlier today finished scoreless, and Peter Smith was watching this one.
Burnley 0, Arsenal 0. Burnley had lost their previous 11 fixtures against Arsenal, but could and should have won this one following a second half bombardment of crosses and headers. Jay Rodriguez came desperately close to scoring when his volley came back off the underside of the bar, but the ball didn't cross the line when it dropped. Arsenal's Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang normally scores against Burnley, but uncharacteristically passed up 3 decent opportunities. Full time, Burnley 0, Arsenal 0.
And Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta is taking the positives from this game.
I was very pleased with the first 15-20 minutes. The way we came out, the way we controlled the game, the opportunities that we generated, and we were on top of the game. I think we had the chances to score 1 or 2 goals in that moment. And when you do that, after here is always difficult. After 20-25 minutes, we start to give some sloppy passes away.
And to Scotland and Celtic are now 7 points clear at the top of the Premiership. They extended the lead over Rangers with a 4-1 win over bottom side Hamilton, who had Jamie Hamilton sent off in the first half. Manager Neil Lennon tells Sky Sports News that his team did well to remain patient following the red card.
Second half was a case of breaking them down. They defended heroically at times, but once the second goal went in, that was the icebreaker.
And locally, Cork City have beaten Cove Ramblers in a pre-season friendly this afternoon. 2-1 is how it finished in Mayfield. Dylan McGladden and Rayon Dillon with the goals for City. And in the FAI Intermediate Cup fourth round, College Corinthians have beaten Bonaghy United by 2-0. Evan Galvin and Dara Sullivan O'Connell with the goals for Corinthians. And to rugby now, and Ireland women have beaten Scotland in the Six Nations opener. 18-14 is how it finished there in Donnybrook. And as we mentioned, France have beaten England by 24-17 in the men's Six Nations in Paris. Charles Olivon scored 2 tries for the Blues, who withstood a late onslaught to win.
France looked alright, didn't they?
Yeah, first half they looked very, very good. The talent they have, particularly in the back line, you know, it's awesome. And look, I was very impressed by their back row as well today. But I guess their scrum half as well. He's a fantastic little player. Played against him when he was actually in Cast just before he retired, and he obviously moved on to Toulouse. Depaul, he's an unbelievable player. So look, if they can continue that rich vein of arm, they'll be definitely contenders for the Six Nations.
England, I suppose, a bit stunned, I suppose, by the ferocity of the French attack in the opening stages of that game. They fought back well in the second half, and you're thinking maybe there's a chance here. Johnny May scored a try that was very soft from a French perspective as well.
Yeah, to be fair, Johnny May, two individual tries really, two class finishes from his point of view, particularly his second one though.
He had no right to score that.
No, no. be it about four defenders, question mark, Sean Edwards, the new French defence coach, won't be happy with that. Was coached by him in London Irish for a bit as well. He's a fantastic coach. You know, he'll bring a bit of toughness, mental toughness, and obviously organisational flair to that French team. But yeah, England kind of got on top in the scrum with about 20 minutes to go and had opportunities to maybe level the game, but I think France really deserved the win overall. But probably crazy in the build up to the game. Eddie Jones was saying that this young French team, you know, wouldn't have ever experienced this physicality and brutality that England were going to bring. He just keep more, you know, pressure on his own England team. So
yeah.
No, he just certainly
and fired France up as well at the other side of it.
Exactly. So, like, you know yourself, you certainly don't need to give a French team at home anything or any kind of added ambition. So, look, he'll have to question how he deals with the media in the future. But
Eddie Jones, I don't think he will.
No, true. But look, it's great from a media point of view that he does kind of shoot from the hip.
No, you get an update now from Adam White Hart Lane. I know you've been watching Spurs and Man City.
Tottenham 2, Manchester City 0, the big moment in the game so far, the sending off on 63 of Alexander Zinchenko for a second yellow card. It's let Tottenham back into the game. A minute later, Steven Bergwijn, on his debut, scored the first goal of his Tottenham career, and that was quickly followed by another goal from Heung-Min Son. That after City missed a host of chances in the first half, including one from the penalty spot. Tottenham 2, City 0.
I'm just watching it here in front of us. Spurs brain ball around, quite comfortable. That's 3 points in the bag for Spurs. You think probably might have jinxed them now, but they look very, very comfortable indeed. And City just standing off and not even getting a glove on Spurs at the moment.
And on to tennis, where Novak Djokovic has won his record-equalling 8 Australian Open men's title. Serb had beaten Austrian 5th seed Dominic Thurin in 5 sets in Melbourne, 4-6, 6-4, 6-2, 3-6, 4-6.
Yeah, it was incredible stuff there from Djokovic this morning, fighting back, and just absolutely brilliant stuff, and a really, really enjoyable match. And,
17 Grand Slam titles.
Roger Federer's looking nervously over his shoulder at the moment, because Federer has 20 Grand Slams, and he's looking at Djokovic going, is he going to break my record? But Djokovic is an absolute machine, and to win 8 Australian Open titles, it's just something sensational.
Phenomenal, and it looks like he probably will break that record, but we'll see. On to golf, where Graham McDowell saw off Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka and Phil Mickelson to win the Saudi International by 2 shots at 12 under par. So look, fantastic news for him, especially Ryder Cup year as well. So I know I heard Patrick Harrington speaking about the makeup of his team, and he's keen to have that experience and guys who've been there before. So G-Mac is kind of putting his name in the ring now for that.
Certainly so.
And in basketball, Singleton Super Value Brunel have lost out to Liffey Celtics in the Women's Super League this afternoon. 68-62 is how it finished in the Parochial Hall. Delta Work, trained by Gordon Elliott and ridden by Jack Kennedy, has won the Grade 1 Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup on the day 2 of the Dublin Racing Festival in Leopardstown. The 5-2 chance staying on well to deny Kenboy and presenting Percy back in third place. And finally, on to American football, where Super Bowl 54 takes place this evening. Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers go head-to-head at the Hard Rock Stadium in Florida. The action kicks off at 11:30 Irish time.
Yeah, we won't get a chance to see it because it's well past my bedtime when you got to be up at 5 in the morning to get to work for 6, but I'll try and catch some of the highlights in the morning before seeing the score. I imagine that's going to be quite impossible. But you never know. We'll see that. But I'm really looking forward to catching some of that. It should be an absolutely cracking game. We'll be previewing that with Alan Amasny, the head coach of the Cork Admirals, a little bit later on in the show. All right, as Tomás mentioned, Cork beating Leitrim today in the National Football League Division 3. This is the reaction of Ron McCarthy speaking to Dennis Hurley afterwards.
You know, on paper, yes, we're a better team and a stronger team and everything else, but you know, the attitude has to be right, you know, physically and mentally. And I suppose we did drill at home last night in our team meeting before the game. You know, this was about attitude and, you know, coming into a difficult venue and a difficult pitch in very, very challenging weather conditions. And, you know, if you weren't up for the fight today, you were going to be found out very quickly. We were up for the fight, you know, we matched them physically from the start, and then we let our football do the talking as the game had done.
Ron, in the second week in a row, then forward has scored 5 points after coming on. That's obviously a good thing on the one hand, but is it a kind of a negative on the other, in that, you know, the players who are starting aren't scoring as much?
Yeah, that's something I've thought too much about. No question, Michael came in last week and did very well. Obviously didn't go for him today from a starting position, and Luke got his, obviously got two from Freeze and one from Mark, but certainly he impacted the game when he came on. I'd probably look at it differently. I'd probably look at it from the point of view of you know, competition for places. You get an opportunity to start with the team, you got to take it, and if you don't take it, there's real quality on the bench and in the panel, you know, who are only too happy to come in and avail of their chance. So you know, I wouldn't make any apologies for it, really. I'd be saying to guys, you get a place in starting 15 this team, you make the most of it, or, you know, someone else is going to take your place.
And in Division 3, you're obviously coming up against a lot of teams who are going to defend in numbers and have sweepers back. So having someone like Sean in the half-back line and able to almost operate as a seven forward is a good asset to have.
It's worked well for so far, you know, but he's, you know, to be fair to him, he did some great tackling as well in the defensive role, but he does offer you an opportunity coming out of defence, and he joins up and links up the play really well, and he's, you know, he's a powerhouse, and his pace and power when he comes out with the ball is great. Also great that we can get him off today if we have to manage him. You know, if someone told me that he played 3 National League games in a row 3 weeks in succession, I wouldn't have believed you. So he has the opportunity, because, you know, he's good. We took him off just precautionary there in the last 10 minutes. He feels good, and so hopefully he's back in the mix and training next Tuesday.
And is that the kind of pattern of game you're expecting from teams in Division 3, that you'll have to wear them down first and then pull away in the second half?
I don't know. You know, to be fair, Down would have plenty of quality as well in the you know, in the forward line, and obviously their Kilcoo fellas came back last night as well. So you know, I don't think Down you know, would come down with any fear of playing their football. So, but I do think the way the game has gone, you know, lots of players, including Dublin and Kerry, or lots of teams I should say, you know, get men behind the ball, and when they do, you have to be patient and keep the ball and make sure you don't get turned over. So regardless, we keep trying to do that.
And is there anyone back next week who wasn't available today?
We should have a few back. There was under 2021 championship yesterday and today, so we lost a few players owing to that. The other thing is, if there's under 2021 championship again on Tuesday night, there is the French Cup final on Friday. You know, so look, you've got like Halamani, who's playing today, he played on Thursday, he's playing today, he's playing next Tuesday, he's playing next Friday. You know, look, it's quite unlikely that he'd be available for our game next Sunday. You know, five games in 10 days, you know, if we were to include him in the final match, and I suppose we have to do the right thing by the player. So what we do is that we gather the bodies back, you know, get them in tomorrow for recovery, see how they are. But we should, in principle, have, you know, Paul Ring, who started the last night, Conor Callanan came on, Damien Gore should, you know, possibly be available, but again, he's playing on Friday. Sam Ryan just picked up small niggle, he was named to play, picked up small niggle on Thursday night, and we just wouldn't risk him. So look, we should be in bigger pick next week.
Having taken 4 from 4-1 in terms of points, have you lessened the pressure on yourselves going forward? You said last week 10 is the target. Do you think that'll get you up?
Oh, I'd be certain 10 will get us up, I know some teams got up on eight in the past, right? Doesn't happen too often. Some teams have not gone up on 9, but I don't think anyone has ever not gone up on 10. So that should get us up, and you know, it brings us closer, obviously, to that magic 10 number. But the other thing here is, we must look at the next obstacle ahead of us, and you know, do it week to week, and do it in blocks. And the block of the first 3 games here now, we've 2 played. We're going to week 3, home game. We're going well. Plenty of competition for places in the team. You know, a good team coming out to play against us next week, but we should be really, you know, up ready for it.
That's Ron McCarthy speaking after today's win over Leitrim, 2 wins from 2 now for the Rebels. And as you heard him mention there, next up it's Down coming to Porkycueve next Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. But he mentioned a target 10 points to go up. He's got 4 already. I don't think he could be happier, I suppose, with Cork's third.
Yeah, look, I think it's great, and the list of names there that he reamed off that were unavailable as well. Obviously looking at developing a lot of strength and depth. So probably the relegation, obviously no one wanted it last year, but it's probably given him a bit of comfort and a bit of of, I suppose, ability to trial a few things, and you're not going up playing against the top teams in Ireland with respect, so you can look at lads and give lads a chance, yeah, and, you know, develop towards, obviously towards the championship this year, but, you know, towards being in a higher division next year. So seems positive, you know, all in all for Cork football.
And you, Ciarán Sheehan, on the show last week, if you missed that, it's a really, really good chat. You can get that on the Big Red Bench podcast, but he certainly hit the ground running today. A goal today just before half time really killed the game off.
Yeah, well, I kind of took from it, whether he's in a really good place mentally, just really enjoying being back home in Ireland, and look, settling into a new job and loving being back playing GAA with his club and with Cork. Yeah. So, you know, when a guy is happy, and I guess the pressure of contracts and professional football is gone, he's just kind of, you know, he's still only a young man, so hopefully he'll have a few years left in the Cork jersey yet. So yeah, it's great to see him back flying in Cork colours.
Yes, certainly. So long may that continue. Into time added on at the New White Hart Lane. 5 minutes to be added on. It's Tottenham's leading Man City by 2-0. Last night, Cork beat Tipperary 224-125 in an absolutely cracking game down in Porky Cueve. I had everything, really, really top notch hurling last night. But a win for the Rebels, their first win of the campaign. Going to hear now from my boss Kieran Kingston.
We're very happy with the performance and the the effort that our lads put in there. There's great honesty to it, there's great attitude to their play, and I think that's something that obviously we needed to bring. We were welcoming the All Ireland champions to Cork. Serious team. As every team is in this league, is hugely, hugely competitive. And look, of course, we're delighted with the win on the back of that performance. So, yeah, look, they have to be assessed. Aidan's a quad issue, Tim is an ankle issue, we don't know. It was a bit of a challenge, I suppose. That was one of the most pleasing things of it, that we lost two key players. Aidan and Tim were going really, really well. We lost them in the first half and we had to adjust, which we didn't expect. Obviously, in the first half, we'd have to make changes like that. And we had rested a few students, as everybody knew, and we didn't anticipate that we would have to bring them in as early as we did. So that kind of, I suppose, offset our changes, or our proposed changes, or planned changes. If there is no real plans, you have to see how it goes. But I was delighted with the way the lads reacted to that adjustment, losing a centre-back, losing a wing-forward, and the change was seamless, and I was very pleased with that.
Some good individual performances again. Robbie O'Flynn had a very good game.
He did. Robbie worked really, really hard. He got an opportunity tonight and he took it, and I was delighted with him. And there was many, many, many others. I suppose when you're making changes, sometimes you're making changes to a team and people might question as to why you're doing that. But obviously you're trying to give guys an opportunity. But I would be of the belief that any time 15 players take the field with a Cork jersey, then I expect them to be competitive. And I expect them to put in a performance, and that's what we're trying to grow to. You know, I'm not in the habit of individualising players. I think this is a team game. We played 19 players tonight, and each of them did their job. And the next night, it might be some guys might play better than others. But look, we had two guys tonight coming back from long term injuries, Colin Splann and Alan Cadigan, and they got some game time into them. It was great to see that, because Alan hadn't played in 6 months, and Colin had a bit of time all right during the Munster League, so to get another game into them was great.
Performance wise, Kieran, obviously walk rate was at a high intensity compared to last week.
Yeah, we're happy with that, and look, we're not a bad team because of last Sunday, and we're not a brilliant team because of tonight. It's one game, that was one game, this is one game, and it's no more than that. It's a league game in 1st of February. Absolutely, we're delighted with the performance, we're delighted with the win, but that's really as much as it is. This team has been criticised in many, many quarters around its consistency and in many other ways as well, and it can only answer those criticisms if it gets some consistency into its play. Tonight is one game, that's not consistency. We'll judge consistency in 3 or 4 games time. I think when your attitude is right, when there's an honesty of effort there, which there was tonight for the 19 players that played, that seems to fall out of that, you know. But right, as I say, it's one game, and I can't get carried away with it. It's a league game on the 1st of February. It was great to win. We needed it, but it's, as I say, it's one game.
Morale is obviously lifting up tonight, but going forward, I suppose this week it's Fitzgibbon Cup semi-final next week for UCC, and then away to Westmeath the following week.
Yeah, look, starting out in this campaign, we knew that the initial stages of the league was going to be really challenging for us, because we're trying to manage
a squad, trying to give guys opportunity, and that overloads some of our key players as well, who are those guys. Some of them played the bones of 3 games in 6 days, and that's not ideal in these kind of, obviously conditions were fantastic tonight, but in a main you're not playing in these conditions in January, and it takes more out of lads. And these are young guys, 21 and 22, and because we're talking about player burnout, and we had 3 important games in 6 days, it don't really add up, you know.
I suppose you said you don't want to name individuals, but you've got to be happy with Collins and Gould. He played really well today.
Yeah, he did. Look, if a guy goes on, this is my philosophy, if a guy goes on the field and he does his job, that's the job he's expected to do. We all make mistakes. Everybody will make mistakes on the field. I'll make them on the line. You guys will make them in your jobs. That's because we're human, and players will make them as well. Sometimes can be over-criticised when they do, and maybe over-complimented when they don't. But yeah, I'm very happy with everyone's performance tonight, irrespective of how they played, with their attitude. I thought their honesty was the key thing.
It's Kieran Kingston there speaking after last night's win over at Tipperary. It's just over as well, and the new White Hart name, Tottenham, beat Manchester City by 2 goals. And that surely by now hands the title to Liverpool. We'll get a full-time report on that one in just a bit. But the Cork Hurlers last night, Tomás, showed flashes of excellence. Looked really, really solid. Performed very, very well. A fantastic win. Some great performances. We heard Kieran mention there, Alan Cadogan, just back from 6 months out injured. First game in 6 months. Played very, very well last night. Showed some real flashes of just how good a player he is. So overall, a very good night for Cork.
Yeah, look, I think especially with the credit Parky Creeve and the ground staff too, like particularly for this Cork team, it really suits their style of play when you know the sod is good and the pitch is incredible. Mm. And it like suits the likes of Callaghan up front. You know, Cork's forwards have over the last maybe 5-6 years they've generally been very, very good. They've it's kind of the back line is questioned, and look, Robert Downey there going in full back the last few weeks, even against Waterford, when the team in general struggled, he looked good that day. He's only 21, but he's looks like he could be the answer at full back. And I suppose even Damien Cahillane has been freed up going out to half back. Yeah, Patrick Collins was mentioned in goal. He made a one unbelievable save, but I thought his puck outs were maybe a point of difference. He was pinpointing with his puck outs, picked out players on occasions, which led to scores. So,
and the save he made just before the Tipperary penalty last night was sensational. Point blank range, crazy. Full stretch, brilliant save.
Because I'd heard a lot about this guy. I've seen a little bit of him, but a lot of guys were pushing for him to get a shot and obviously challenge Anthony Nash in goals. So it's great to see that competition, and hopefully that'll raise Nash standards now as well. So yeah, all on a positive. My own club mate Robbie Flynn as well. He scored 1-3. Great goal, and look, he's a guy who's speed to burn. So like I said, a good night for the Cork team, and
they needed it as well after losing last week.
Yeah, like going away to Waterford and probably performance, home game against Tip. I know Tip had rested probably one or two lads, but you still got to win. Cork had a lot of changes, so it's kind of illustrating that there is a strength and depth kind of starting to form in this Cork team.
Yes, certainly. Signs looking very, very good for Cork. I don't think anyone's going to get carried away though after one league win over Tipperary in February.
I think they might as well give us Lee McCarthy.
Start booking the hotels, lads, for the All-Ireland final. Alright, going to hear now from the Cork Moody boss, Paddy Murray, after their win yesterday in Porky Queef. Fantastic win for the Rebels. So going to hear from Paddy Murray now.
I always thought that if we got the ball into our forward line, that particularly inside, that we had to beat them in there, and probably some of our striking in the first half probably was a bit slow, so we'd have to speed up on that. But you know, look, very young team, average age of the panel is 22, so we're starting to rebuild. You know, normally that probably takes 3 years, so to come down here and strike 118, we'd have to be happy with it.
5 ahead in at the short whistle, what was your message to them?
I just stick to what they're doing. You know, probably tighten up a small bit in defence. We were probably open once or twice at a goal chance, so just probably get a small bit tighter, but just keep doing what they were doing.
I suppose in the early stages then of the second half, like Waterford were coming at you in waves, and your goalkeeper had to make a good save, and there were a number of chances that went wide, but you were under pressure.
Yeah, we were. I suppose we lost our way a small bit around the middle of the middle third, I suppose, you know, but like Ashley has done nothing with the last 3 weeks in that she had a rib injury, so she ran out of a bit of steam there, you know, so our fitness levels probably aren't where they should be, but look, you know, there are things that we have to work on.
Obviously it's great Aisling Thompson back again, a wealth of experience.
Yeah, look, particularly with the team we have at the moment, and you know, she's training well at the moment, so you know, just hope that she can put on a good year.
Paddy, I suppose over the last couple of years there are people who were complaining that Camogie lacked physicality. There was a couple of hits there tonight that would do justice to the men's game.
Yeah, but look, overall, and I don't want to talk about this referee, but I'm very frustrated. I don't think anything has changed. You know, if you judge our semi-final last year against Galway with this outside there tonight, I'm just absolutely pulling my hair out of my head at the moment. I just don't know where to go with the whole setup.
And what would you like to see changing?
I just one word, consistency, and I think that's the key thing, consistent with refereeing. We go up next week, it'll be something totally different. You know, nothing has changed in my mind. I'm just absolutely going away out here with frustration.
What was it particularly about tonight that you were frustrated in terms of decisions?
I think that you know, you're getting a free once and then you're not getting a free the next time. Inconsistency, we got blown for striking a ball outside the large square, and it went on for the night at other times. So you know, if you're going to do that, let's have it, you know, and blow it continuously. You know, I'm just, some were hits, yes, absolutely, some were not, and blown, you know, freeze given against minimum contact. So I just don't know where to go. It's very hard for a management team to sit down in front of a team and try to advise them in the way they should play, because it is just nonsense the way things are going. You know, I go to the semi-final last year, put that up against what we had there tonight, and they're two different games.
Yeah, it's Paddy Murray there, Cork Camogie boss, speaking. Last night after their win in Páirc Uíomh, a good win for the Rebels last night. But Paddy has been beating this drum for a while about the inconsistency of refereeing in the Camogie, in Camogie. He got it again last night. You can hear the frustration just kind of bubbling over in his voice there.
Yeah, you can. And look, he'd be, I suppose, experienced it week in, week out, dealing with referees. Look, it's a bugbear of coaches in every sport, in every game, whether it's Premier League or whether it's, listen to Mourinho there, or listen to, you know, rugby players or whatever. Like, fortunately, referees are human, they're not going to get it right, but it's probably an easier way would be just to implement the exact same rules for hurling as Camogie. Yeah. And
because I think he's mentioned that before, yeah. And I think like a lot of managers across the country have mentioned that it should be refereed the same way.
Yeah, I think that would make it a lot easier for referees and fans and coaches then to get an easier understanding, players as well. So look, if you can kind of implement that, whereby same rules, then hopefully things might improve and he might be a little bit less frustrated.
Yeah, fingers crossed anyway. Alright, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk Cork City. Going to hear from Neil Fenn after their win over Ramblers. I'm going to hear from City legend George O'Callaghan.
Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Cork's Red FM.
Maureen Tomás here with you on the bench until 7 o'clock. Full-time report from White Hart Lane.
Tottenham 2, Manchester City 0. This game was packed with incidents. In the first half, City hit the post and had a VAR penalty saved before the key moment. A red card for City's Zinchenko on 63. Spurs then scored two quick goals. New signing Steven Bergwijn on his debut volleyed the first, and Heung-Min Son drove home the second. Spurs move up to fifth in the table. Tottenham 2, Manchester City.
Well, you're the Spurs fan on the Big Red Bench. How happy are you with that? And how happy are you with Jose Mourinho and the work he's been doing recently?
Not very happy with Mourinho. Like, obviously, it's a great win for Spurs. I suppose you're moves up the table now to fifth. And trying to obviously get into the top four for Champions League football is key. Just in terms of revenue, particularly with, you know, Daniel Levy at the top. You know, he doesn't like spending money at the best of times. So if we're not in the top four, I'd say good luck. But look, Mourinho, I suppose, he ekes out results. And to be fair, you know, he's brought in a debutant there who's scored a cracker. I know there's probably a bit of criticism about, you know, how he's handled our own Irish kind of, well, superstar, hopefully, yeah. next big thing. He's not allowed to be loaned out now because he has to qualify to be an English qualified player if he stays for a 2-year period or something like that, Troy Parrott. So, look, I guess Marino's just looking after his own scenario there. But look, good win for Spurs, but I wouldn't be overly happy overall.
Yeah, I'm sure Liverpool fans are celebrating this evening anyway after that result. All right, Cork City, as we mentioned at the top of the show, they defeated Cove Ramblers in a pre-season friendly today, held up in Mayfield. Didon McGlaidon and Ryan Dillon with the goals for City. Going here now from boss Neil Fenn, speaking to CorkCityFC.ie afterwards.
Yeah, it was a good performance there. I thought it was difficult conditions. It was what you'd expect from a pre-season, for what I want from a pre-season friendly anyway. A good game against a good opposition. Difficult conditions with the wind, and obviously it's on an all-weather pitch, is not ideal, but we passed the ball well, created a good few chances, scored some good goals, and still work to be done, obviously, but happy with the result, happy with the way we played. We've got a good bunch of players there. They're all around about right the same age, so it's good in that way. They all get on so far, and you know it's how you play on the pitch together and in the units and getting partnerships and all over the pitch. And they seem to be doing that quite well. And I thought there was lots of good play today and lots of good performances and hard work.
And albeit it's a friendly, but Ryan Dillon getting a first goal, it's obviously for a striker important to get off the mark as early as possible.
So yeah, good. Yeah, exactly. He did well today. Held the ball up well. Obviously he got a goal as well, as you say, for a player that's always good. And obviously Dillon as well, getting on the score sheet, and probably should have had one or two others as well. So no, really, really good.
So we're moving to the final week of pre-season now.
Yeah, so we'll have a day off tomorrow, and then we'll train during the week preparing for those two games, but really preparing for the start of the season. So the one friendly and the Muncie Cup will be good games again. Longford are a good team, and Mayfield will be difficult to beat as well, so it'll be really good games for us leading up into the season.
Yes, Neil Fenn, after today's win over Ambers, next up for City, as Neil was mentioning there, friendly against Longford at the Cross next week, and then Mayfield, that's next Saturday, and then next Sunday is their final pre-season game. They take on Mayfield United, as Neil said, then before the opening game of the season happening on February 14th as they take on Shelburne at Turner's Cross, which should be a cracking occasion. And fingers crossed, I suppose City can get a win in the opening game. Like, to get a win with that young squad that Neil Fenn has in that opening game is going to be absolutely huge.
Yeah, look, I suppose you spoke to him probably 3-4 weeks back, and he was very happy with the squad that he seemed to be assembling. Obviously, there's restrictions in terms of finance and how much he can actually spend attracting players, but he was happy with the calibre of players, and I suppose the youth of the group he seemed to be enthused by. He was kind of ambitious in the football that Fenn wants to implement, and I know Cork City fans traditionally love to see some football played down at the Cross. So hopefully, you know, this obviously there mightn't be many big names yet, but hopefully one or two of them might turn themselves into kind of folk heroes like the Georgie Callaghan and these guys.
Yeah, Georgie O'Callaghan could certainly play a bit of ball back in the day. He called into me earlier in the week to look ahead to the new season and maybe look back at some of his own career as well. Alright, the new League of Ireland season is just 2 weeks away. Delighted to be joined by Cork City legend George O'Callaghan to look ahead. George, how are you, boy?
Very good, thank you, Roy. Nice to be back.
It's great to have you in here. It's been a couple of years since you've been in here.
Yeah, strange coming back in.
And we were talking as well just before we came on air, City's first home game is against Shelburne at home. Your first game for City was against Shelburne at home, 2003.
Yeah, like from, I think it's very similar to what it is now. People didn't really know what to expect. And that day, I think Shels were just after winning the league. They were the top team. And, you know, we went out that night and we beat them 3-0, beat them very convincingly. And kind of put a mark that, like, I suppose the new kind of era of younger lads were coming through at Cork City, and it was a great occasion. And I suppose that team stayed together for a long time. We ended up winning the league eventually and breaking Shells. We kind of broke the ball's dominance in Dublin. So great times, you know. And you know, it was a project put in place, and it was just fantastic to be involved in it.
I remember that day vividly. There was such a swagger about you that we had been used to seeing for City for a couple of years, and everyone just left buzzing about the potential of that squad and the what lay in the future, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. And like I keep saying, you know, you have to kind of sometimes be lucky with players, and that definitely happened. You know, I think Flinney came in last minute. You know, I was after leaving Port Vale and coming back, and you know, that season Dan Murray came back, like, and you know, Lord Dan done to the club was amazing. And like, we had a nice little bunch of players, and I think we were kind of lucky then, in the sense that all the younger lads came in, but we still had Decky Daly there and Stephen Napier, and kind of with them around, you kind of knew what was needed to be a Cork City player and their kind of guidance. And then I suppose the U coming through, and you know, none of us knowing what was going to happen, and it just all clicked, and we were just very lucky that it created a great team, you know, a team that I think will always be remembered.
Yeah, and beating Shelburne is always always good.
Yeah, and you know my love for Shelburne, so I'm looking forward to seeing them back in the Premier League, so as long as we can kick them as much as we can when they're down.
So as you say, a number of similarities, I suppose, between that 2003 team and now, and that, like, Neil Fenn has kind of a rebuilding job. He's kind of emphasising youth this season because of maybe the budgetary constraints he's under, so definitely a couple of similarities.
Yeah, and that's what I'm hopeful of, that the younger lads can come in and really grasp it. I think the Shells game is an ideal first game, because when they play against Shells that night, there'll be a big crowd at the Cross, and you'll see how the younger players reacted. You know, some players will stand up and stick their chest out, but some young lads will go hiding. That's just the way football is. So it's going to be really, like, fascinating how Fenny's going to set up and what they're going to do. But for me, I think that will give a gauge for the season, how they play that night, because ultimately those players, that's going to be their biggest test so far in their career, and like, they either stand up to it or they won't.
Yeah, certainly so. And a couple of experienced heads there still, as well. Mike Mendelty still there, obviously. Garrod Morrissey, I think a lot's going to be expected of him this year, so there is that blend of, I suppose, of experience and youth coming into the team.
Yeah, and when you look at Nults and Garrod, as you say, you know, they're really experienced players now, and they're going to have to lead the club. I suppose it's going to come to the stage now where before, I remember when Nults were there with us and Garrod was coming through, but now they're the senior players, and I think they have a massive season ahead of them. I think last season, certainly when Fenny came in and just before John Cotter was let go, the lads weren't really doing that for them, you know what I mean? So I think this year they really have to push on, show that they're leaders and help the younger players come through, and because if they don't, the lads are going to struggle this season.
One thing we know is that team will be very, very fit with Joe Gamble cracking the whip behind him.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wouldn't like to be doing the running out in Bishopstown today in the rain anyway, certainly. I know Joey will have them will fit, and I said that's one thing, at least they will be fit. And then the other side of it then, you know, you look, I suppose, when Fenny was a player, that little bit of quality and bit of class that they need on the ball. But knowing Joey, they will be fit team.
And I think Neil is going to want them to have the ball on the deck, pressing up high and playing, I suppose, that on the front foot kind of Cork City way that we were used to maybe in the 2005 team.
Yeah, I think that's the only way Fenny knows how to play. So that's what's going to be really interesting. Will they adapt to Fenny's style? And Fenny's, I think when Fenny came in near the end of the season, it wasn't his team, but this is certainly his team now. It's his players. So, you know, I think Fenny's going to have a lot more responsibility, and I think it'll be a lot more stressful for him this season because, you know, being a footballing manager, you have to get the wins, and playing at Turner's Cross, you do have to do it for the crowd and play the way they want to play and getting the goals. And Cork fans will always follow a winning team, and Cork City do need to score goals and entertain, and that's what people want down the Cross. You get away with it in the away games, but you won't get away with it down the Cross.
Fans have to be patient, though, I think. They have to realise this is a rebuilding project and it's going to take some time for everything to bed in.
I don't know any Cork City fans. Cork City fans are patient. I know, because Turner's Cross is a tough place to play when people are on your back, and I know at the start there will be supported of them, but I think, you know, even last season you could feel people were edgy coming to games. There was a lot of negativity, so, but that's down to the players. The players have got to go out and show it. I think in that game against Shells, when they do start, it'll all be, I remember when we played, it was the first 15 minutes we kind of blew Shells away. I was lucky to score, and then we kind of kicked on. So they need that bit of luck, and they need somebody to have that bit of quality on the ball, because I think last season when you watched it, there wasn't much quality left. No one really could pick out that final pass from. So it'd be interesting to see what kind of players Fenny is going to bring in and what they're able to do.
Overall, looking at the league as a whole, it looks like it's going to be another Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers battle for the title.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the way it looks. I think, you know, when you look at Shamrock Rovers, they've put in a plan there over the last 4 or 5 years, and that's all coming true now for them. That's why they're so strong, they're so stable, they've got great investments from people outside of the football. And you know, maybe that's something that Cork City should have looked at when we were in the Champions League, and you know, when we were winning leagues. But and then in Dundalk, similar, they've good investment, they've backers from the outside as well, and they obviously have a great setup. They're just getting stronger and stronger. So the thing about it for me, like, Cork City, it fell so much this time last year. We would have been talking about winning the league again. And now people are like, saying, well, this could be relegation season for falling 12 months. It won't happen.
No.
But that's the kind of negativity that's creeped in, and it just needs to be eradicated by the players now when they go out and play in the first few games.
Overall, George, there's been a lot of talk of the FAI struggles off the field, and out of that, there's been discussions of maybe an All-Ireland League forming. What would your views be on that? Would you be in favour of an All-Ireland League?
I think it's the only way to go. I remember when we used to play, we had the Santa Cup, and I just love going up playing against Northern Ireland teams. It's exciting because I think it can get repetitive playing the same teams, you know, in a 10-team league all the time, you know. So I think that's the only way to go, whether they do it or not. Like, obviously, the FAI is a shambles at the minute. You know, I think bringing in Niall Quinn now and Brian Kerr, I think things will change slowly, but in the mess that they're in, like, how long is it going to take them all to sort out what they need to sort out?
The FAI has never really cared about the League of Ireland, though, has it?
No, the FAI never cared, and I've always said it never really bothered me, the FAI. Like, I think sometimes when you play in the League of Ireland and you're neglected so much, you actually kind of become even a bit bitter towards the international team, because you realise, as a player, no one cares only about the international team. So, and it's very difficult when you play in the League of Ireland and you're trying to, it's a living for people and it's your job, and you realise that the top organisation don't care. You know, I think what the John Delaney said, it was like a problem child. Like who ever said that about
their own league?
Running. It's terrible.
It's incredible. Overall, George, how do you think City will do this season? How will they fare?
Well, do you know what? When you talk about Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers, they're not world beaters. Mm. And I said that when we beat Dundalk near the end of last season. Like, you know, it's not as if we're playing Arsenal or Chelsea's there. I think if they can get a team in that are going to work hard, have a good structure, a good defence. Obviously, you know, we've lost a couple of defenders, like O'Connor going to St Mirren, or Conor McCarthy going to St Mirren is a big loss for them, because he was top goal scorer last year, 6 goals.
That's his centre half, his top goal scorer, yeah.
But I think realistically they should be aiming for the top four, because it's Cork City at the end of the day. We're the biggest crowd or the best club in Ireland, so, you know, I think they kind of have to aim high. There's no point in coming in and saying, oh, we want to do this and mid-table. I don't think people would accept that anyway in Cork.
Last year you kind of came back to the club as a fan, watching matches for the first time in a couple of years. How was it being back, I suppose, watching City?
I know, I love it, and it's just great getting that buzz when you're walking down on a Friday night. I could bring my little son Rocky with me.
Is everyone shouting, Georgie, Georgie?
Yeah, no, it's funny because the older people do, but the kids haven't got a clue who I am. So, and the dads are trying to explain to their kids about me, then it gets a little bit
it's
embarrassing.
A legend here, look,
yeah. So, yeah, no, it's really nice, and you know, I have great memories of Cork City, and they're great. There's great people out there working as well. I put a lot into that club, and I love Friday nights. I really can't wait for season to get back on. Do you know what? As I say, it's a little, nice little buzz. You pick your little son up at school, and then it's like match day again, ready to go in to watch the lads in the cross. Like, so I really can't wait for the season.
And off the field, George, you've undertaken a massive undertaking, I suppose, with Anytime Fitness, which is a new gym opening up in Ballincollig.
Yeah, no, it's really exciting. It's something that I wanted to do for a good few years, is to be involved in the gym industry. So I'm lucky enough, I got a chance now with this new gym, 24-hour gym, set up in Ballincollig, and it's kind of the way I wanted the gym to be. It's going to be like classy. It's more of a health club feel. It's for anyone, so people don't feel intimidated coming to the gym. It's not all about athletes or anything like that. It's for people that want to come in, lose weight, and, you know, just have healthier living and lifestyle. And it's a lovely kind of business to be in, because you can see the results and you're helping people. And I'm just really delighted. We're open now, start of March, and it's going to be, I think when people come in and see it, they're going to realise what an amazing kind of cool kind of gym it's going to be.
And being open 24 hours as well, it really helps people on shift work and people on unusual working hours as well.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And you know, when I speak to people, we obviously have big companies next to us like VMware and like even the Gardaí, you know, people like that. You know, when they come off shift, the gym's open 24/7, the security cameras everywhere. We're basically the same as every other gym, but we've got like the top of the range security.
Yeah.
And it's there for that, and it's worked in Dublin with the three lads, or with the three gyms up there that the lads are running. And like, regarding safety and all that, like, there's 4,500 Anytime Fitnesses around the world. Like, we've got two in the Bronx, so like, you know, just the safety issue is never bothered the 24-hour gym, you know, there's never a problem. So I think it's a great idea, and just hopefully now the people in the Ballincollig area, that community, will buy in like with us and the people in Cork, and come in and enjoy the gym.
There's been a great response so far, hasn't there? Some from I've been seeing online,
yeah. Yeah, I know, it's been amazing. You know, we put out the first band of sales on Monday, and we were sold out within an hour. So, and that's why I say, you know, all our we've got like virtual classes with 2,000 on the app. There's 2,000 classes, and that people, if they want to go in and do their own classes in their own little boot. All our showers are individual. You have your own little bathroom and mirrors and all that. So it'll be something really different in Cork, and do you know me? I always like something different than you.
Exactly.
So hopefully it will work, and I have no doubt it will.
Yeah, and people can find you online, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Yeah, we're on Instagram, yeah, on the Facebook, the whole odds, Anytime Fitness Ballincollig, and they can see the plans and see what we're doing.
George, best of luck with it, buddy, and thanks a million for coming today.
No, thank you, Rob.
Yeah, great to have George O'Callaghan in studio to look ahead to the new season. Best of luck to him as well with his new venture. Looks like he could still do a job for Cork City. Looks super fit.
Yeah, look, he was always fit as a fiddle. Yeah. I remember back in the day, we used to be actually training in the farm as well, same as the Cork City lad, so you'd bump into them a lot more, and there was a few rock stars in the team as well.
George,
they were men about town, like, but like they had a great personality, and they also had a great crack with them, like, so it's good to hear that you know, he's still looking well, and that good luck with his venture. So it sounds like a good plan anyway.
Yeah, thanks to George for calling in. All right, we're running out of time. Going to preview the Super Bowl tonight, Super Bowl 54, Kansas City Chiefs, San Francisco 49ers, about 11:30 Irish time. Our good friend Alan Masney, the head coach of the Cork Admirals, called in to look ahead. Alan, what are you looking forward to this game tonight?
Very much. This is going to be an exceptional game. We have two really good teams, high-powered offences, good defences. It's what you want to see in the Super Bowl, really.
Stylistically, I suppose, how do they compare and contrast?
What you have, I suppose, with the Chiefs have such a dynamic offence. You have Patrick Mahomes, you have Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce. They can score from anywhere at any time. They can come back like they did with the last two playoff games. Against that, then you have the 49ers, which have the number one ranked defence, a fantastic pass rush with Nick Bosa and Dee Ford and a few more of them. So you have, can the Chiefs control the pass rush? If they can, then it's going to be very difficult to stop the Chiefs' passing game.
So it sounds like they're stylistically kind of, they're opposites to each other, basically.
Yes, and on the other side then, the 49ers are more of a traditional ground and pound offence, and they're going to want to run the ball and then try and beat you with efficient quarterback play. So the Chiefs' defence then, you've got Chris Jones and Frank Clark on the D-line. They're two very good defensive ends. So if they can stop the run, if you can be physical with the 49ers and stop the run, then you have a good chance of stopping them. The key is, if the 49ers control the run game, it keeps Mahomes off the field.
Yeah, certainly. So I've heard a lot, read a lot about Mahomes this week. He's been a fantastic, I suppose, all throughout the season.
Yeah, I mean, look, the guy's in his second season. He went to the championship game last year. They went to overtime. He didn't get an opportunity to get the field in overtime, so we don't know what he could have done. This year, he's in the Super Bowl at 24. I mean, the guy's phenomenal. He's the son of a major league pitcher from baseball, and you know, he can do things in the field that lots of quarterbacks can't.
Yeah, what is it about him that just makes him stand out?
I think his ability to just be aware of what's happening around them. And I mean, generally quarterbacks, you know, they have to know what everyone is doing on offense and defense. But then you have that little extra bit that some special quarterbacks have, where they can transfer, you know, their knowledge, and then they can see things that physically they can't see, but they know that's happening over there. And I mean, the guy makes throws where he's not looking to, and you know, sidearm throws when he has to, and plus he can throw the ball the length of the field as well, which is a huge plus.
And so the big question for the Niners is, how do you shut that down?
I think that if they want to beat the Chiefs, they got to keep him in the pocket. Make him literally throw from the pocket, because he extends a lot of plays with his feet, gets out of the pocket, he can run for first downs. If you could stop that and keep him in the pocket, and the 49ers have a very good secondary, if you can keep Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill from going deep, and then all you have to deal with is Kelce in the middle, then you would have a good chance of stopping them.
And offensively, then, what are you expecting from the 49ers tonight?
I think, again, they're going to run. I mean, their running back there, Mostert, he had a fantastic game the last day. They ran. The Packers couldn't stop it. And then, you know, the thing is, when all offenses, when you run, have a good run game, then you can use the play action on the pass. And you know, when they come to try and stop the run, they have to come down into the box, and then you can beat them over the top with the play action. So Jimmy Garoppolo is well able to do that. If he's efficient and doesn't turn the ball over, then you have a good opportunity there of scoring. And again, one thing, you know, time of possession. If you keep the ball and the other team can't have it, they can't score.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
One other thing then you have to look at is the two special teams. The 49ers have Robbie Gould, who's one of the best kickers ever. The Chiefs kicker is very good as well, Harris Buckner. But the Chiefs return game is just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So the key for the 49ers, another key for the 49ers is, you know,
keep
big players out of special teams. Yeah.
The bookies have the Niners as slight favourites. Would you go along with that?
I suppose if you were to look at the stats and everything, yes. The key, the whole game is, you know, Mahomes. What are you going to do with him? If you battle Mahomes, then yes, the 49ers should win it. If you don't take care of Mahomes, then he will win.
What do you expect to happen, though? Who are you calling for?
The way I would see it is that it'll be a close game, a good battle, and then it'll come down to who gets the ball last. Mm. If Mahomes gets the ball last in the last possession, then he'll win, yeah.
Excellent. And you've got your big Super Bowl party tonight as well?
Yeah, Super Bowl party tonight in the East Village. And time from 8 o'clock on, we'll have raffles and late bar.
It's always a good night.
Yeah, it's a good crack. We've good big screens there. Mm. It's always a great night for the lads. And you know, I want to come down and watch some football and, you know, get to know the team and everything.
Down the East Village from 8 o'clock, so.
East Village at 8 o'clock tonight, yeah.
And you're back in action now as well. The last time we were here, you were looking for big offensive Did you get some?
Yeah, we have actually got one or two lads. I was looking to recruit again. We'll be doing another recruiting push from now. We had our first game of the season yesterday, pre-season game versus Wexford Eagles, which we won 24-17, which basically was to get all the rookies involved and get them their first taste of football.
Yeah.
So we've got kind of 6 or 7 weeks now of a next training step up, and we'll have a rookie camp and rookie day in the middle of that as well. Our first game then is on the 15th of March.
It's not too far away, sorry.
Yeah, and our first home game then is against Limerick in Cork.
Yeah, fantastic.
On the 29th of March. So, well, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, so far, so from yesterday, the signs were good, anyway.
That's all you want to hear. Alan, always a pleasure, buddy. Thanks, Corey.
Thanks very much, boy. Take care.
Yeah, it's Alan Lemasney, the head coach of the Cork Admirals, looking ahead to tonight's Super Bowl. The San Francisco 49ers going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. It promises to be a fantastic game. Kicks off at 11:30, a little bit past my bedtime. You going to sit and watch it?
I won't step and watch it, no. Too small, he's to bed now. But interesting to hear the Masney talk about it there. It's great to hear about his knowledge. I wouldn't have a clue, talking about special plays and quarterbacks being in the pocket. And Mahomes, he sounds like a character from Police Academy. So yeah, my knowledge of American football wouldn't be the best, but no, I'll definitely catch the highlights.
Yeah, I haven't seen much football this season, unfortunately, but I always enjoy checking up the Super Bowl. Kicking off at 11:30 tonight, probably won't see a lot of it live. Going to try and catch the rest of it then tomorrow morning. Used to be a big 49ers fan when I was a kid as well, so I'm hoping the 49ers win tonight. That's my tenuous connection to tonight's Super Bowl.
Did you have a jersey or anything?
I do have a jersey, a San Francisco 49ers jersey at home, so yeah, that's what I'm shouting for tonight anyway.
Surely you'll get over to see them play at some stage.
You never know, I'll have to say
that. Red FM might put us out there.
We'll do a bigger bench live from San Francisco next year, laughing. Alright, that's it from us. Thanks very much for tuning our way on the Big Red Bench this evening. You can get our podcast if you missed any of today's show or yesterday's show, redextra.ie, or wherever you get your podcasts from as well. We're on Twitter at Big Red Bench and on Instagram as well. Alan Donovan is up next with Green on Red. 3 hours of the best Irish music coming your way between now and 7 p.m. We're back next Saturday from 6 p.m. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday night, folks.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.